morning. I made really bad breakfast choices this morning, and I feel like I'm running on caffeine and sugar, so I'm going to try not to spaz out through this because I'm feeling a little jittery this morning, and that's probably why. So our seventh principle, respect for the interdependent web of all existence, is a glorious statement. Yet we make a profound mistake when we limit it to merely an environmental idea. It is so much more. It is our response to the great dangers of both individualism and oppression. It is our solution to the seeming conflict between the individual and the group. Our seventh principle may be our Unitarian Universalist way of coming to fully embrace something greater than ourselves. The interdependent web, expressed as the spirit of life, the ground of all being, the oneness of all existence, the community-forming power, the process of life, the creative force, even God, can help us develop that social understanding of ourselves that we and our culture so desperately need. It is a source of meaning to which we can dedicate our lives. These words were written by the Reverend Forrest Gilmore, who is the executive director of Shalom Community Center in Bloomington, Indiana. And it's from the book, The Seven Principles in Word and Worship. And if you go on the UUA website and you look up the seventh principle, this is what you will read. When I started thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, I started thinking about what I've been doing. What organizations had I been involved with? Where had I been? Who had I been with? And anybody who knows me or who is even Facebook friends with me can probably guess the list got pretty long. I'm not very good at sitting still. But when I distilled it all down, one word came to mind, and that word is community. If you look up the definition of community, it tends to mean one of two things, either people who live near each other or people who share the same ideals such as religion, culture, etc., etc. When I think of community, I tend to think more along the lines of Martin Luther King Jr.'s beloved community. So I want to take a little time talking about what that is. Where did the term come from? What did Dr. King mean by it? And how, as Unitarian Universalists, does this apply to us and our principles? The term beloved community was born from the Fellowship of Reconciliation, which is the largest, oldest interfaith peace and justice organization in the United States. The USFOR, as it is referred to, was founded in 1915 in opposition to the United States' involvement in World War I. 68 pacifists founded FOR, including famous UU Jane Addams. The ACLU developed out of the FOR's Conscientious Objectors Program and the Emergency Committee for Civil Liberties. The FOR currently promotes nonviolent alternatives to conflict. Dr. King, who was a member of the FOR, was the person who popularized the term, the beloved community, and brought deeper meaning to it. The beloved community has a deeper and broader meaning than simply those who share proximity or ideals. The King Center has this to say about Dr. King's beloved community. The beloved community is a global vision in which all people can share in the wealth of the earth. In the beloved community, poverty, hunger, homelessness will not be tolerated because international standards of human decency will not allow it. Racism and all forms of discrimination, bigotry, and prejudice will be replaced by an all-inclusive spirit of sisterhood and brotherhood. In the beloved community, international disputes will be resolved by peaceful conflict resolution and reconciliation of adversaries instead of military power. Love and trust will triumph over fear and hatred. Peace with justice will prevail over war and military conflict. Last week, during the second hour, a few of us talked about the book Daring Democracy by Francis Moore LePay and Adam Eichen, which was last year's UU Common Read. In the introduction of that book, LePay and Eichen define despair as our greatest enemy. They go on in the first chapter to say that it is not the magnitude of the challenge that crushes the human spirit, it is the feeling useless. I bring this up to say that when I read about Dr. King's beloved community, I can feel how big and that is and how singular I feel. It's like looking at the world from space and trying to find yourself. It feels that big to me. But my perspective has changed over the past few years regarding my influence, my impact, and my involvement in the beloved community. The reason is I started making my community a priority. When it comes to making community a priority, there is one change that I can directly link to my success, and that's simply showing up. Of course, in the long run, a lot more goes into it than just that. But when I decided that I wanted to be more involved in my community, I wanted to meet more like-minded people and otherwise, and I wanted to volunteer, I simply just started showing up. One of the first places I showed up was right here. That was a big step for me, as I know it was for a lot of people in this room. I needed something that I thought that this place could provide. And like I have said before, I got so much more out of it. I got a community in all of you. The give and take that happens here, the love, the space, the support, breathed new life into me in a time when I needed it most. And it taught me the value of community. And then when I could, I started showing up other places too. I joined a mom's group. And I'll be honest, I have very little in common with these other women, aside from the fact that we have children of similar age. But showing up in that space and being with them, even though we are so different, has become really important to me. I started showing up online. It seems strange to say, and someone who grew up in prior to the internet, like I really never thought I'd meet people online, but I do. I built relationships through Murfreesboro's Loves online first, in person later. I built relationships with other UUs in our direct vicinity online first and in person later. I also started showing up to parent-teacher club meetings and field trips and talking to other parents at softball games and at the swimming pool. And I am by no means the most popular mom at our primarily WASPy school, but I have good relationships with the administrators, the teachers, and the other parents. I went to the Discovery Center a couple weeks ago with my best friend and our kids, and she ended up running into two people that she knew while we were there. And she turned to me and she said, "I can't believe I've seen two people today that I know. Like, I'm not you," as referencing the fact that everywhere we go, I always see like 10 people that I know. But I mean, so what, right? So I know a lot of people, big deal. What does that matter? Here's the thing, we're really all in this together. We're all interconnected, and the better we know each other, the better we can achieve our beloved community. A lot of conversations have been had over coffee with people I could never have had these conversations with if we didn't have some sort of pre-existing relationship. The conversations have ranged from why you don't really need to be afraid of transgender people using whatever bathroom they choose, to these are the candidates on the ballot, and these are their platforms, and this is where you can go to vote. To I don't really care how you were raised, you can make your own decisions about how you treat people of color. To you should really visit the mosque or go to a Murfreesboro Muslim youth event before you say things like that, and I'd be happy to go with you. And so on and so forth. And sometimes we leave the table no further along than we began. And that's okay. As long as we can leave the table still open to a relationship and further discussion in the future, I'm okay with that. As long as I leave the discussions knowing that I have been open and honest and have supported the ideas of love, nonviolence, compassion, and the beloved community, I feel like I have done something a little right. When I think about our seventh principle and the interdependent web, I think we are sometimes more sensitive and aware when we feel the web pulling on us and less aware of when we are doing the pulling. Sometimes things do change. A friend of mine who openly voted for Trump, I still don't understand why people admit that, and who I've had one of the above mentioned conversations with, came to the Murfreesboro Loves event. And while it might not have seemed like a big deal for the people in this room to show up to that event, it was a really big deal for her. And she came there because I was there, and that made it a safe space for her. And I mean, she even went live on Facebook from this event, and if you knew her family and her social circle, you would understand how huge that was. She was making a public statement that went against what a lot of the people that she spends her day-to-day time with believe. So sometimes those conversations do make a difference. This last couple of weeks, I had the experience of being shamed by the Sanctimommies when I chose to send Josie to overnight camp this summer. They took issue with her age, and they believed that no good mom would send a six-year-old off to overnight camp. I heard this from several people. Obviously, plenty of people do that since six-year-olds are allowed to go to this camp. But here's the deal. I don't really feel like I need to defend my decision, and I don't think anyone in this room is shaming me, but my defense has a point. My kids deserve their own communities, too. This camp is specifically for kids who have lost parents or have parents who have cancer. Each child at this camp shares a very specific struggle that not every kid is going to get. The camp is more of a community in the traditional sense of the word, but it's still important. It's important to recognize that everyone has a version of a story. As people living in this world with other people, our stories affect those around us, whether we want them to or not. My cancer has an effect on my family, my friends, and my community in a way that I recognize, and in a lot of ways that I probably don't recognize. I made a conscious decision early on to be open and honest about my diagnosis, not because I felt I needed to share my private struggles with the world, but because I don't own this struggle. As much as I would like to own this struggle singularly for the sake of everyone around me, that's not the reality of the situation. So I share my story because I want my kids to be able to share their stories, and my husband to be able to share his stories, and my mom to be able to share hers, and I said I was gonna do this without crying. It's not gonna work. And so on and so forth. Whether I like it or not, my cancer tugs at the web and affects those connected to me. So I want my kids and my husband and my mom and anyone else who needs to be able to find their own communities and openly discuss and be supported through this situation. Sheltering children at home is a privilege that many parents, for many different reasons, do not get to indulge in. And honestly, all of the things that I'm talking about are a privilege on a certain level. A lot of people don't have the time to go to events or PTC meetings or whatever the thing is, but that's also kind of the point. We should all use the advantages that we're given to try and make a positive difference. So I am passing along the gift of community to my kids. I want them to feel comfortable from a very early age to cast their nets as wide as they please and to build their own nets and webs and learn how to be open and to the give and take that is sharing in the world with others. I'm gonna go for the obvious analogy now because I think it's fitting to make a point. When watching a spider build a web, it starts with one strand and then two and so on and so forth until they feel they have enough anchor strands to begin weaving the inner web. If a spider is in the early stages of building a web and one of the anchor strings is cut before enough are laid, the web is ruined. The spider is likely to fall to the ground or be left swinging through the air, literally hanging by a thread. But if a spider's web is fully formed, has a broad reach with many anchors and a solid center, the breaking of a string is not as catastrophic. The rest of the web will keep the spider up. The web will be damaged, but not ruined. Certainly repairable. I like to think of my community like a well-formed web. The more anchors I have, the stronger my circle, the less I am likely to fall. If something happens and I lose an anchor in my life, the rest of the web is there to catch me. And for me, working toward the beloved community means fashioning a damn strong web that reaches a lot of people from all walks of life. If we truly want to commit ourselves to the beloved community, we need to commit ourselves to nonviolence. We need to commit ourselves to the idea that we are all connected and violence against one affects us all. We need to commit ourselves to the idea that our actions do matter, both positive and negative. We need to commit ourselves to making community, our interdependent web, a priority. We need to commit ourselves to what Dr. King called agape love, which he described as understanding redeeming goodwill for all, an overflowing love, which is purely spontaneous, unmotivated, boundless, and creative, the love of God operating in the human heart. Dr. King said that agape does not begin by discriminating between worthy and unworthy people. It begins by loving others for their sakes and makes no distinction between a friend and enemy. It is directed toward both. Agape is a love seeking to preserve and create community. So how do we do this? To close, I'd like to just throw out some ideas that many times are easier said than done. Earlier this year, I experienced something that I had not experienced since I was a kid. I got so nervous about doing what I thought was the right thing that I actually threw up. I was faced with a situation and a person who scared me, but I felt like I just needed to speak up and speak my truth in the moment. And I had to walk away and be sick, and I had to re-enter the situation. The person was vile and exactly how I thought that he would be, short of physical violence, but I walked away from the situation without regret, which was a really good feeling. So here are some difficult things that we can try to foster the beloved community. Offer radical hospitality to everyone. Affirm and promote the inherent worth and dignity of every person. Offer personal authenticity and true respect to those you meet. Recognize and affirm the differences in others. Listen. Tolerate ambiguity when a clear-cut answer isn't always available. Build trust and avoid fear with those who are different. Acknowledge your limitations and lack of knowledge in certain situations, like, you know, on Facebook. Acknowledge conflict and make an effort to work through it. Speak truth in love, meaning try to avoid violence in your words. Commit wholeheartedly to nonviolence. Forgive yourself. Focus energy on removing unjust systems, not destroying individuals. Be unyielding in your commitment to justice. Oppose and take action against poverty, hunger, and homelessness. Support true community development, not gentrification. Take an interfaith approach to justice. Encourage art as a form of expression and resistance. Foster dynamic and active spirituality, if that's your thing. Gather together with everyone in your beloved community. Care for yourself. Promote human rights and be unapologetically anti-racist. And share power and acknowledge that we cannot do any of this alone. It has been my honor to be a part of this community. In many ways, I consider this group of people as the first people to teach me through example what community truly means. Being here every Sunday is a source of strength and rejuvenation for me. When I walk out this door and attempt to live out the principles and covenant we recite every Sunday, I know that even if I make a mistake or I end up throwing up behind a bush, I have this place to come back to and regroup and refocus. I think if anyone can help bring the beloved community into reality, it's Unitarian Universalists. We have a lot to offer, and we have each other as anchors in this interdependent web of which we are all a part. I draw strength from that knowledge every day, and I hope the rest of you feel it too. And if anyone is inspired to do a little community building today, the Love Your Neighbor Potluck is happening this afternoon at Barfield Crescent Park. If anybody in this room doesn't know what it is, it was inspired by the conflict when they were building the mosque. It was started by the Murfreesboro Muslim Youth and the Murfreesboro Coal Patrol. And it's just a potluck for anybody who wants to come, and there'll be lots of cool people there. Josie and I will be there, two of the cool people. And we would love to hang out with you and introduce you to some new people, or maybe you could introduce us to some new friends. Thank you.